everybody. Welcome to The Principal Entrepreneur. I'm your host and author of the upcoming book, How to Be a Great Principal, Jonathan Royce. This is episode 77 of The Principal Entrepreneur, where we support educational leaders with strategies and suggestions that answer the question, how do I become a great principal? I also interview principals and school and educational leaders just like me and you and discuss their areas of expertise and how they overcome the challenges within schools. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the 7 legally mandated factors to consider before you can suspend a student. I was recently at a PD just this past week, and we were getting information from the district lawyers that we needed to add to our student handbook. This was a 3-hour PD, and he went over legal precedents from the 1980s, 1990s, and talking about why those laws were in effect. And then he segued to the current laws that are coming down. And this new law was often referenced as 1310D. The old language in districts and schools' handbooks from the past had more leeway to suspend students over 10 days. However, with the latest research showing the link between suspensions and jail, that is no longer the case. The new default position is that students shouldn't be suspended longer than 10 days, and if you do so, you as the school, as the principal, as the district, have to prove that this is necessary. And the following mandated questions must be addressed if you wish to suspend a student for longer than those 10 days. And the first thing that you need to take into account is that student's age. Was the student a 6th grader under? One of the things that the presenter talked about was parents and guardians being able to come back and easily argue that a student is too young to understand the long-term consequences of their actions if they're under this 6th grade mark. Number 2 was you needed to look at the disciplinary history. Was this a one-time thing? Were the students getting caught up in with the wrong crowd, this particular incident, or is there a consistent discipline issue of the same types of behavior? Number 3, you got to check to see if the student has a disability. This doesn't mean that there shouldn't be consequences for the student's actions, but are these actions a byproduct of the disability? Number 4 is the seriousness of the behavior. Does the behavior warrant a suspension longer than 10 days, or is this a one-time thing where the student cussed out the teacher or the administrator, and the administrator or the teacher got their feelings hurt and just gave them a suspension of more than 10 days? Now, you got to look at that seriousness of behavior. Number 5 is, did the actions pose a safety risk? And this kind of goes back to that seriousness of behavior idea. In this case, it seems to be that the language is talking more about physical safety than it is talking about emotional safety or verbal assault or something like that. Number 6 is you have to have some sort of restorative practice. You either have to find a way to repair the harm to victims in the school community caused by the misconduct of the student. And this can run parallel to the consequence, but there has to be some sort of intertwining between restorative practice and the resulting suspension, whether it's happening after the end of that suspension or prior or running parallel with this suspension consequence. And then the number 7 is there a lesser intervention that can address this behavior? Again, this idea of restorative justice, or is there community service that might impact the student's behavior? Is there a behavior plan or any number of interventions that you could give this child that could stop this behavior from occurring again? These 7 factors are required by the new Michigan legislation, 1310D, And the principals must consider these factors before suspending that child for longer than 10 days. Again, these seven are student's age, disciplinary history, disability, seriousness of behavior, does it pose a safety risk, are restorative practices part of the fabric of your community, and is there a lesser intervention that can address that behavior? If you would like a copy of this checklist, you can go to my website, The Principal Entrepreneur, and click on this blog, and you'll be able to find a link there. Will these seven factors disrupt your discipline procedures? How are you managing to integrate these seven factors into your current discipline policy? You can share your thoughts in the comment section on the Principal Entrepreneur blog at theprincipalentrepreneur.com. And that would be a great way to share ideas as, again, this new legislature is coming down. Moving on, if you are a principal, make sure that you check out the new grant scholarship that is available that honors the hard work you put in on a daily basis. K-12 principals, if you go to the website and click on grant applications, you can find the information there and what you need to do to have an opportunity to apply for that scholarship. For more short articles and tips that support educational leaders, check out the other blogs that I have at theprincipalentrepreneur.com or howtobeagreatprincipal.com. Both URLs go to the same place. You can also check out my new and upcoming book there, How to Be a Great Principal, 36 Shared Leadership Success Strategies. If you are an auditory learner, you are, of course, in the right spot on Podomatic or iTunes. You can find other episodes there. You can check out some of the more popular episodes, which include the latest one where I had Janelle McLaughlin, and she talked about technology and the integration of technology and social media. To join the podcast as a guest, you can email me at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. And finally, I'm part of a community of supportive principals, and you can join us over there on Facebook, also searching The Principal Entrepreneur. That is it for today and this episode of The Principal Entrepreneur.